listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood. This is your host of the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have a very special talent, director, cinematographer, editor extraordinaire, William Cook. How are you, William?
Hey, Nikki. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
Of course, really, man. Appreciate it. No, it's going to be exciting to get right into your work. You're an amazing director. I've been watching your videos that you've been posting on Instagram and stuff that you've done. We're going to get right into your demo reel just so people can get a real feel of your work. So we're going to play William Cook's demo reel. Here it comes.
Speeds, action. Perfect, cut.
Since I've watched that,
you're probably like, I'm amazed at my own work. That's the way it should be.
No, I forgot about some of those shots in there.
Well, it's so cool. You have some of these cool, like, drone shots, and then you have, like, just real great camera work. Let's go way back to the beginning. What was the moment of zen for you that made you want to become a filmmaker? Was it a movie that you saw with your family? Was it somebody on, you know, maybe it was a school experience where somebody showed you a camera and how it works? What was the moment of zen for you?
It's a little bit more boring, to be quite honest. A lot of people, when you ask them, they say like, oh, I had a camera from a young age and everything. I really didn't know after high school what I was going to do with my life. I took 2 years of a gap year to try to figure it out. And I ended up working at a social media management company, and they opened up a like camera division, and the guy just gave me like carte blanche. He's like, just go for it, figure it out. And so I started editing. He taught me a little bit here and there. I started doing some like little promos for his, you know, clients and everything. And I was like, I love this. And I was like, I think I could do this. So I ended up going to school for it and shooting music videos down in Florida. Full Sail University.
Oh yeah, that's a very famous school. Yeah.
Born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida.
Amazing. So so it was in Florida, right? Isn't it in? Is it Orlando?
In Orlando.
That's right.
It's in Orlando. I did online though, just because I was having to work my way through it. I had a couple jobs as I was going to school, Then shooting. I did a ton of wedding videos in the beginning.
Right.
That's like the name of the game.
For the work is when you start, right?
Yeah. You get all the New Yorkers that come down south to get married.
And then you're like, so you fell in love with the editing first?
Both. I fell in love with the whole process of it. I had already done like a little bit of photography and stuff, and I just, the editing stuff I was not familiar with. And then when I started working on that, I was like, that's where you actually make it. I was like, the footage really comes down to being secondary, you know. An edit makes or breaks anything. It really does. I love it sometimes where it's like, you know, you had a tight deadline, difficult shoot, not a lot of footage, and you got to save it in the edit. And, right. And sometimes you can, and sometimes, you know, you can't, you might get screwed a little bit.
I mean, it's such a dedicated art form. I've learned from just editing like little videos here and there myself. I have so much respect for editing and editors because really, and let's be honest, they are the real filmmakers when it comes to how a film kind of comes out, how a music video comes out. It's like, and it's such a meticulous process. People don't understand. Mm-hmm. Like music editing, pretty simple. You know, it's like you're pretty much just looking at a screen and making it happen. But with film editing, you have to make sure the sound is aligned. You have to make sure the pictures are aligned. Everything is so much about timing and the details of it that I'm sure you see a lot of things that are like not edited well, and you're like, oh, that was a shitty edit.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had many projects sometimes where I'll shoot them and it goes to a different editor and I'm like, please be good. Please be good. You know, color it right, you know, cut it well. And,
right.
And then you get it and you're like, I wouldn't have done that. And that though, I felt like editing made me such a better, you know, camera operator and DP right. Because I would always approach the situation of what did I want for the edit? So that's what I shot for. And I still do that to this day. I shoot for the edit. That's my big thing.
You know, that's why I can tell you started with the editing process first, because it's like, you can tell, first of all, that you have an eye, and that it's kind of remarkable that you didn't really know you had that eye until after that time after high school, because that's all right. I got a bulldog. He sometimes comes in, so don't worry.
Okay.
But it's cool that you, like, what was the moment that you kind of, like, you had to have a moment where you're like, I see things in a different perspective than most people. Like, you have to know that's the gift. The eye is the gift, you know?
You know, it really wasn't, though. I mean, I did, once I started getting into film, I really just started diving into movies a lot. And music videos kind of came a bit later. And it really didn't feel like it came naturally to me at all. I mean, there was so much I just felt like I had to, other people, I'd be like, oh, it seems like it's super easy for them. I feel like I'm always having to like work and study and everything. But for me, when I did decide I wanted to edit and shoot and everything, I actually started daily vlogging. Wow. And I did that mainly for myself of I had to shoot something and I had to edit something every single day. And I do feel like that made me a bit better at finding things, because you're trying to build a story every single day. And I did about 300 days in a row. Took a break and then did another 300, and I never blew up on YouTube. Did not become.
No, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
But it made me a fast editor, and you know, I was constantly just like looking for stuff, because you know, I was like 18. I was working at a Walmart warehouse, and you're like, how do I make my day interesting? It's boring as hell. You know, and so you're like just looking at everything. You're like, oh, that's cool. I'll shoot that. You know, that's some cool B-roll that I can help tell a story with. So that's probably, once I started doing that, that's when I feel like I definitely started developing my eye. And story's king. So anything that you could shoot that complements it, that's what you go for.
Well, I had a songwriting teacher in college, and he said the coolest thing, and you were doing it, he said, find the remarkable in the unremarkable. And I'm like, it hit me so well. And it's like, it hit me so deep. And you were doing that. You were working and you're like, how can I find something extraordinary and something that is the mundane, just the everyday thing? You know what I mean? So like, it's cool that that's how you developed your eye. What filmmakers were you falling in love with as far as like what their approach was, or just how their eye kind of captivated you?
Well, I did grow up on old movies, so I'm very much, my parents were big of like the 1930s and 40s movies. Wow. I've watched Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, you know, a lot, you know, Coppola movies, Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne. So definitely directors from that era, cinematographers from that era, I definitely feel heavily influenced by those. Like Michael Kurtz, you know, he's directed from the 50s. One of my favorite movies is The Spirit of St. Louis with Jimmy Stewart, actually. It was a box office flop.
Right.
And it's an amazing film to me. I think it's just an amazing work of art. So many movies like that. It's a Wonderful Life. And then contemporary artists, you know, the go-tos, love Scorsese, Tarantino, Spielberg.
Scorsese's my dude. Group. I love Scorsese, so I love that you said
Scorsese's
that.
Scorsese's probably my top, too.
He's my top.
I remember he did that Masterclass. I don't know if you've seen that series, like the Masterclass series and stuff. And when that dropped, I immediately bought, like, the class. And I was like, I've got to watch it. And it was just 4 straight hours of him just talking about how he storyboards, how he thinks, and he's such an amazing artist. You know, there's so much.
He's a music guy. He loves music so much.
And he does.
It's what I love about him too. It's like, and you love music too. So you've got that thing where you got the eye and you love music. But yeah, man, I love that you said Scorsese. Tell me what films specifically that you love
from Scorsese.
Yeah.
Ooh, I mean,
very tough.
Yeah, that's really tough. I mean, I'll be honest, it's newer, but Wolf of Wall Street, I feel like he peaked there. I mean, just the thing that I was amazed by that film was the editing, too. Like, that really caught my eye. The editing is just so on point. Older stuff, you know, Raging Bull, absolutely, you know, amazing film.
Departed, it is like a work of genius. I'm like, every time I watch that movie, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Man, and I don't know if you've seen Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, Nicholson.
Oh, man.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's so good. A lot of people, like, they're like, it's too long. But when you watch it, there'll be a couple shots and you're like, man, this guy is he's so genius. It's just really skillfully
done. Well, that was like The Irishman.
Yes.
You know, people were saying, like, that's too long and everything. And I was like, it's just 4 hours of art. I'm here for it. You know?
And you know what's funny? It's Spielberg. I don't know if you saw his documentary. He says he watches Lawrence of Arabia once a week, just because to him that's like
one of
the greatest movies that's ever been made, and he watches it every week to remind him of like how to make a movie, how to make something extraordinary. Which I'm like, that is so awesome that when you see people kind of like go back to the classics. So you have some heavy roots in film. That's pretty unbelievable.
My number one, like, all-time favorite movie goes, well, like, the top two are definitely for me, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I fully believe
that to be a perfect film.
Right.
And then the other thing is Cecil B. DeMille's Ben-Hur from 1958, I believe.
Yep.
Charlton Heston. To me, like, that's a movie I'll watch anytime. That's my Lawrence of Arabia, which Lawrence of Arabia is amazing, too. But
that's like 4 hours, too. Isn't it 4 hours? Ben-Hur is 4 hours, I think.
I think it is. Okay. Yeah. And, but just a gorgeous, stunning film and how they made it. You know, I love that, you know, because so much emphasis has been put on the green screen and the psych walls and Unreal Engine and all that. And, you know, there's a couple of movies coming out now that are like, let's get back to kind of the roots, like Dune, you know, going to the locations, utilizing CGI and all our new technology as we should, but still embracing the old, go to the location, go to the actual desert, you know.
Did you,
that's how you make it look good.
Have you seen a movie at TCL IMAX in Hollywood?
TCL?
Yeah, the IMAX theater. The Grauman's
China. I haven't yet.
Oh my
God. I've been there. I've been to the theater.
You've been inside. You've watched a movie in there.
Oh, yeah. In the main theater? Yeah. I've been there. So, ironically, one of my buddies, when he first moved here to pursue acting, he actually started working at the theater. So he got me in for free.
Oh, that's
all
awesome.
The time. He's like, dude, I can get. And so I would go all the time to go like watch new movies. I remember seeing Batman there when that just dropped. That's so stunning.
I mean, it's like when you see a filmmaker's film, like a real filmmaker's film in a theater. Yeah. That it's like, it is the ultimate medium. It's like the ultimate artistic expression and experience when it's done right. So I'm well, sure those.
Did you
those...
see?
Go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, I was just gonna say, did you see Bowie? That last David Bowie movie that kind of came out. I went to that theater, popped a bunch of edibles, and watched that, and just absolutely mind blown. You know, that was such an insane film, and it looks so good on IMAX.
Yep. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, and especially now when you know you're using the technology too. It's like you're shooting on 4K. There's, you know, obviously there's more too, but when you have the technology and you have the mediums to showcase the work on that technology, it's like we're in like a renaissance period that people don't really realize, because there's such a big advancement. It's happening so much faster than it has in really in the last like 40 years. In the last like 15 years or 20 years, there's just been so many advances, like crazy. I have to link you to a friend of mine who he actually used to work in one of the biggest lens rental places. So he's all of like the biggest and best lenses that you can get your hands on. And he works.
Can connect me.
it just made me think, I'm like, I definitely need to connect you to this guy, because you guys you'll definitely be able to get access to some incredible lenses because of this guy. But he also is a filmmaker, and he talks about how so much of that is lost in filmmaking now, because a lot of the cameras are so great, but it's like you don't realize how important a great lens is, because it can change a perspective of a scene. It can change
even not a great lens.
Yes,
like an old beat up lens. Right behind me, over here, I have a bunch of like 35mm lenses from like 60s, 70s, and 80s, and they're beat up. You know, they're old and ugly, but they got so much texture to them. And yeah, that is something that happens nowadays with like the technology increasing so well. You know, we got 4K, now we're up to like Blackmagic's doing 12K, and it's great. You know, you got all these options and all, but it's almost clinical in a lot of ways, and it takes out of like the grit and the texture of,
I love,
you know,
these
what, you know, some of the favorite movies.
Yeah, well, yeah. I love film. Like, I love film. So when you see something shot on film, it's like one of the most cathartic experiences of filmmaking, I think. And I think that's lost because digital is just so convenient. And, you know, like I always record using digital stuff, but man, the last three or four records that I've made, not the last one, but the previous three, all done on analog tape, because you feel music on a different level when you're hearing it with analog gear. And it's the same with film. It's like when you see something shot on film, there's something about the warmth of it. There's something about how exciting it is when you watch. So I love that. And I love that you've been also making films and you're switching gears to music videos and kind of going back and forth, because what I love about that approach is you know how to make a movie, you know how to make a narrative of character development, and then you know how to do short form, because there's an art to that too. Let's play one of your music videos. What do you want to play first? Your choice.
Tell you what, we could start with the Ozzy track. Let's start with that. And my role in that is not as big as some of the other ones, but it was such a memorable shoot just working with him and being there in that room with him for that.
Cool. Here's the Ozzy video by William Cook.
Thank you.
That was awesome, man. That was so intense.
I mean, it's Ozzy, you know?
You've come a long way from Jacksonville, Florida, that's for sure.
You know, world star hip-hop videos. You know?
Pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. What was it like, A, to work with Ozzy and also to shoot some of that footage? I mean, all the aerials and just like the desert kind of shots were so cool. So happening.
I was a camera operator on this. It was not the DP, but I was very fortunate to have just landed the job. But you know, the day I got the job, I just listened to No More Tears like the whole day. You know, it's like my favorite Ozzy song.
Hell yeah.
But man, it was just so cool. Like, we went to his house, and that's actually in his theater room downstairs. And he came in and just the epitome of like an artist and a professional. You know, they Billy Morrison, you know, who's put this wonderful, amazing album together with all these, you know, collaborations and artists. He actually eventually had to send Ozzy away because he's like, no, Ozzy, you're good. We got it. Because he kept saying, he's like, you want to do one more? He loves it. You could tell he just, you know, and they recorded the track a year ago, walks it, just does every single word and, you know, just goes for it and turns into Ozzy Osbourne. And I'm standing like 2 feet from him. And I'm like, this is like the guy I watched as a kid. Like, what? You know?
Yeah. And he just got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year. So
I know.
Pretty awesome. Know. Very, very awesome. And well-deserved. But that must have been just super cool. Did you shoot it kind of like using multiple cameras? Did you use like any kind of drones or anything like that? What did you use on the technical side? Yeah.
So we had a couple of, you know, a couple of different camera teams. So, you know, we had a DP, he was shooting A cam, I was shooting B cam. And then we also had a dedicated drone operator for the shots in downtown. It was pretty big, decent crew, you know, cause like a lot of heavy hitters in there, Billy Morrison, Steve Stevens, Paris Jackson, you know, so, shot it in about 2 days. You know, Ozzy's day was dedicated to that. And then we shot everything out separately. As far as the technical side, I was doing like all the Steadicam work for the most part. That's one of my specialties, is doing a lot of gimbal work and Steadicam.
That's so amazing. So you said the whole shoot took a day and a half, 2 days, I guess?
Yeah, it was about a day and a half. Ozzy was about a half day. And just because we knew that was going to be such a big time, we took a lot of time to set up all the shots and the lighting and everything. That day was a bit smaller just because, you know, we were going actually to their house. So me and the DP and the, you know, we had a gaffer, you know, pretty bare bones crew, just kind of setting everything up ourselves because it was also pretty tight down there.
That must have been like a little bit of a pinch me moment. You're like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I can't wait to tell people about this because it's just got to be so cool. You're shooting an icon, yeah. You know?
You know, and you realize it didn't quite hit until like after, I'm like, wow, you know, that's part of Americana now, you know, and it's part of, you know, Ozzy's, you know, legacy.
Yeah.
And just, you know, being there, watching it, even being made much more like filming it. Yeah, it was a total pinch me. It was like, punch me in the face.
Yeah. Not every day do you get to be asked to film the Prince of Darkness. So it's.
No, I know. Yeah. When I got the call, I was like, I'm sorry, what? And they're like, yep. I'm like, I'm in. I had a trip planned and everything. Canceled the trip.
Wow.
I told my wife, I was like, we're not going. I was like, and she was like, and she's so supportive too. You know, she was like, you got to do it. And I was like, I know. I was like, it's going to happen. No brainer.
That's a pretty big sacrifice. And that's pretty awesome. I don't know if everybody would say that, but so your girl is keeper because of that. I met him about 20 years ago when I was working at Guitar Center. This is a long time ago. And it was right when his wife, Sharon, at the time, was diagnosed with breast cancer. And he was just like, I love my wife. I love my wife so much. It was just like, you're such a good dude. Like, he's got like such a soft, endearing side. And it's not the image people see, you know?
No, so he's the sweetest guy. And he's funny, yeah, too. He's so funny. We were, we had haze machines down in his, down in the theater room. And so it went on. And like, right in the middle of the first day, all of a sudden, the fire alarms start going off.
Oh my
and
God.
We're like, this is Ozzy's house in Beverly Hills, and we just set off the fire alarm. We're like, what's going to happen? And so we were like rushed to try to get it to turn off, and Sharon had actually just flown in the night before, and so she was still sleeping. And he's like, you better get her off. He's there. Sharon's gonna come down, kick you all out. he's really funny.
It's funny when you know, like, you're like, he's the Prince of Darkness, but he's accounted for. He's accountable by somebody, right?
we all have the bands, you know. You know, you gotta keep the wife happy.
Let's play something else because I want to make sure we get to all your videos. What do you want to play next?
Can I do American Mile, California?
Yeah, absolutely.
Little Richard cover.
Give us a little, like a little bit of a backstory on it.
So these guys, I definitely want to talk about them because I work with them so much. I'm pretty much like their dedicated guy, and they're my friends, they're my buddies, and they're just so talented. And I'll go on tour with them a lot. Do like pretty much all their social media. Do their music videos, and. Eugene Rice, the lead singer, is my buddy, my friend, and it's just I love going out with them and just documenting their, you know, all these different crazy shows and festivals and stuff that they play. Definitely like a southern rock band. Speaks to me, you know. I'm from the home of Skinner and, you know, 38 Special. So I remember I had met somebody and they'd introduced me to them here in LA. And I was like, man, I love these guys. I was like, and I grew up with this music. And when I met Eugene, you know, we're talking about Allman Brothers and all these, you know, Petty. Yeah, you know, right up my alley. So, like, anytime I can go on the road with those guys, I do.
That's awesome. Tell me the name of the song one more time.
It's California. This is actually a cover. It's a deep cut from Little Richard. Not as well known, and they did a little bit of a different spin on it and, you know, rocked it up a little bit. And I love it. I think it's an amazing track and it's an amazing cover.
All right, here it comes.
Yeah.
I was born in the country, I lived in the county, I raised on a farm. California, I moved to Alabama. Sweet.
Video, man, that was awesome.
Thanks.
All great art makes you have so many questions afterwards. So first of all, man, sounds awesome. Where I know you shot some of it in Malibu Canyon, but where did you go? Did you go to the Mojave Desert or Joshua Tree? Where did you go for the desert shots?
That was like out in Palmdale, a little bit past Lancaster. I did some research at one point and just took a car out there and found like all these amazing locations that nobody's out there. So I was like, we can do whatever the hell we want. So we did, you know, you fly drones, whatever. And that was a super small shoot. We did the desert basically on one day. And then believe it or not, like the Malibu and Hollywood stuff, that was all like a couple months later, actually.
Wow.
Because the band's schedule and their touring nonstop, it was difficult to rebook the car, get everything out there. That was also just me. I had a buddy driving the car. I hired him for the day to just come out, and I was like, look, I need car shots, so I need someone to drive the car as I hang out a window. So
crazy. That was one of my questions, actually. I was gonna be like, how did you shoot the car stuff? Because that is
hanging out the back of a Corolla, man.
That's the only way you can do it, really. Because I mean,
it's the best.
Really cool. The shots are really cool. And also what's scary too, it's like, you were shooting this during the day. I know those roads, sometimes random drivers come out of nowhere. How did you kind of like gauge when you could shoot?
Well, it's funny. I mean, out in the desert, like that one long stretch that we have, there's not really anything out there. So it was kind of hilarious when you see like a car would pass us and they see like a 68 Caddy with these two guys, you know, dressed, you know, like from the 70s and tweed and everything. They stopped. Everybody was super nice. They're like, what are y'all doing? They're like, we're shooting a music video. They're like, let us know when it comes out. We want to see it. You know?
That's awesome. That's not something you see every day. What about the Malibu Canyon, like the windy roads? That's a whole different, you know, element, you know?
Yeah, and it was actually quite tricky working with older cars. I love to shoot them, hate to work with them. They always stall or something goes wrong with them. And at one point, you know, we were like, is it going to make it up this hill? You know, so we started at the bottom and I told my buddy, I was like, look, we're just going to go up and we'll try to dodge cars as we can. I'll get as much coverage as we can just, you know, going around. And we just lucked out. I maybe like five cars passed us. And so I was able to kind of work around it and only did it in like one take, to be honest, just driving all the way up and then did more takes up there at the top of those, you know, that big green hill for the guitar solo. And
were you playing the music? Were you playing the music at the same time so they could hear cues and stuff, or no?
Yeah, we'd throw a speaker in the back of the Caddy, and you know, I would just kind of like give them a thumbs up, and then I just tried, you know, sync it up in post, and you know, do it after the fact. So
that's cool.
I've got pretty good at just trying to read lips.
that's not an easy feat, and man, it was linked up and lined up so perfectly. But also the shots you got, like that first aerial drone shot's amazing, and also the car shot's amazing. There's so much movement in your filmmaking, which is what I love, because I think there's power in the stillness of film, and then there's power in the movement. And it's like there's a nuance with movement. It's like you can tell when something can be edited too fast. I know you know this because I'm sure
you see
videos now today, they're just edited so fast. There's no time for it to marinate. But you kind of get that thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know where a shot can marinate. What do you think is, like, with this particular video, what was kind of like your narrative for the shoot, or as the cameraman, director, cinematographer, what was your kind of like, I want to space this out and make this kind of like flow in the right way?
Well, I wanted movement as much as I could in it, just because, you know, they're going to California. So I was like, let's start in the desert and work through Malibu and into Hollywood. So to me, I was like, the car was a no brainer because it's like a travel song. So I was like, that means the camera needs to move. You know, the camera needs to be going, you know, with the camera at all, you know, with them on this journey, you know, the entire time. I love movement. I'm such a gimbal head, you know. I remember, like, I've had like the earliest DJI gimbals, you know, the old cheap ones made from China back in the day. I mean, I was always enthralled by just what you could do with gimbals. And there's just so much, like, you know, gears have progressed, you know, shots like that I'm getting in this video, you know, those would be like hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, back in the 90s, you know, and you can accomplish it now. And it's so amazing that we have this technology that allows us, for like one guy, to go out, shoot all this with a drone, and then come back and edit, and you put all that together. And I love that because, you know, and they're so cool too, because they're all about the music and, you know, they like the videos and stuff, but they're like, we're a band. And they're like, you're the video guy. So they're like, you do what you think is good for that. And they give me a lot of creative freedom. That's what they're just like, I said it to them and they're like, we love it. And I'm like, I love it too. Let's do it.
I wanted to ask you too, like, there's a part, you know, where all of a sudden it goes into like, it looks like a Van Gogh painting. And how did you do that, with like an editing kind of like filter, or did you have to go through it and kind of like put some kind of crazy effect on it? How did you create that effect?
There's a lot of plugins. I mean, you know, you guys know, you guys have a lot of plugins now. And that was a company, man, I can't even remember the name of the company now, but I wanted a like cartoony type thing, but I'd seen that done a lot, especially with psychedelic films. And I was like, what about painting, like watercoloring? I was like, I really dig that style and that, you know, kind of element with changing colors. So, you know, that's a plugin that you could use. It's very heavy. It's very taxing on computer systems. I have a massive computer and it even taxed it out a lot. So it's doing a lot of work. And then you could do a lot of adjusting, you know, with the different brush strokes to add different texture to, like, if you're trying to get more detail in the face, and a lot of trial and error. And I'd never worked with that before. To be honest, that was the first time for me. And, you know, Joe, the guitar player, has a fascination with aliens. So I was like, well, we got to get some UFOs in there if we're doing a psychedelic thing.
That's awesome. Well, it's so perfect because you see the alien spaceships, but one of the coolest shots is where the alien's in the car for a split second, like, and then it cuts. That was like one of my favorite parts of the whole video. I was like, that's a subtle thing that you're not everybody's going to catch. They're going to see it, but it was just such a humorous little part that you kind of put in there, which was, it was awesome. Yeah.
I like to throw little Easter eggs in there when I can. I throw little secrets in whenever I can sneak them past the artists, you know.
That's awesome. That's all good filmmakers do, for sure.
Right.
Let's play something else. What do you want to play next?
We finish up with Drowning with Billy Morrison. It's been so great working with him, and, you know, I've been doing other work with him as well, and he's such a great guy, and he's doing so much for rock music right now too. Awesome. Within the genre.
So here's Billy Morrison. What was the name of the song?
Drowning.
Drowning by Billy Morrison. We'll be right back. That was rocking, dude.
Right? It's a great track. I love it.
Such a great track. It's like, yeah. You know what? I'm sure he goes to the suite too. It's like, it's such a fine art to balance vocals, guitars, drums, and bass, and to make the guitar sound so big. But I can tell he's just like, let's turn them big. Let's make them as big as they can get. And it just sounds like that. It's just got so much tone, awesomeness. Very cool.
You've been playing for Billy Idol all those years, you know. He's just so good. Such a presence on camera too. I mean, he's so easy to film. I mean, you know, you're like, man, this guy knows how to hold and use a guitar. Like, just he was, you know, born to do it.
I wonder if he must know my friend Maya Sykes, because she was on tour with them this last tour. Oh. She's going on tour with them again.
Probably.
So, yeah, so I'm sure she's one of the backup singers. But yeah, she's okay. She's amazing. Let's talk about your film, The Tragedy of Senator Abe Froman, which is available on Amazon, correct? It's on Amazon Prime?
Yes. Well, no, this isn't out yet, to be honest.
Oh, it's not okay.
So I have a background in films, you know, movies and all that from the early age, you know, loved that. But, I moved to L.A. really wanting to pursue film and narrative, you know, films. The one that's on Amazon is The Last Pirate. And that was actually a film that took us about 5 years to make, to be honest.
Wow.
And it was all shot in Florida. I was the DP of that and also the editor. And
wow.
There was just a lot that went to it. And it also overlapped with COVID, which slowed us down quite a bit. That was a big work of passion. And we're all so proud of it, you know, like, from the sword fighting, and it's a pirate film too. You know, who doesn't
That's
love
awesome.
Pirates?
Well, you know? A lot of people don't realize it's like, you know, the real reward with filmmaking is that you finish the movie. It's like, that's like,
I know.
People don't understand what it takes to actually make that. So the fact that you made a feature and got it out, it's just, it's amazing. It's awesome. The Last Pirate. Go ahead.
The Last Pirate, since on Amazon and Tubi, available to stream now. The Senator Abe Froman film, that is a short film that me and my friends have also worked on. You know, I'm constantly doing, you know, music videos and stuff, very busy schedule. But, you know, me and my friends, we all love movies and we all want to do that and tell stories, you know, in unique different ways. And that was a short script that my friend Robert Lee Brown and I wrote, and I directed it. He's also the lead within it. You know, very much a work of passion. But so far it's being received well in festivals. It's still in the festival, so that's why it's not out. We're looking to do release in June, actually.
Amazing. And there's no relation to Ferris Bueller, is there, with the Abe Froman reference?
No, that was another little inside Easter egg joke, that me and Robert did. And I was like, The whole concept of the film is, it's a bit of a thriller, but one thing I noticed is, you know, there's so many times where, you know, people that aren't in the limelight are swept under the rug, and you see that a lot in today's society. And the idea of the story is that there's a senator and he's on the campaign trail and he goes and visits a school, and there's an assassination attempt on him and he's killed. But in the crossfire, our lead character's son is also killed. And nobody's really paying attention to that. It's all about the senator and it's all about him. And our lead character has a background, you know, with, you know, a suspicious background with, you know, a certain set of skills, you might say. So he takes it in his own hands to track down the killer and do it his own way because, you know, his son is murdered. But I feel like it was definitely the Abe Froman part was, you know, it's not about him. It's the, you know, and we never show him, you know, I never wanted you to see him because it's not about him.
Right.
Except the title. That's it. And once you watch it, you're like, oh, the senator's not even in it.
That's
because
amazing. That's awesome.
Thank you. It was, I love the idea, the story that we came up with, you know, Robert Lee Brown's such a great guy to work with, and you know, I bounce ideas off each other all the time. He's been a great writing collaborator. You know, he's a talented actor too. You know, DJ, multi-talented.
Man, you run in a good circle, man.
That's all I want. I want, talented people help me, you know, and you know, it, what's that saying? It's like if you're the most talented person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Yes.
You know, like I want to be around the people that intimidate me a little bit, and they push you, they grow you, and they challenge you creatively. I do want to shout out my buddy from the Drowning video. It was directed by Dev Excel. And he's someone that I love to work with so much. You know, I probably had more arguments with him than probably like anybody in a short amount of period of time. And it's like the best arguments, you know, because they're all about creativity, and he's pushed me, and I feel like I've pushed him in certain ways. And that collaboration's made a great team, you know. If it's too easy, you know, and, you know, you're not really pushing boundaries as much then.
Yeah, there's a sign. I think you can see it. It's over here. Wait, hold on. It's over here. It says, if you're on the right path, you're always uphill. You're always going uphill. And I feel like that's it. It's like art shouldn't be easy. There should be a little bit of pushback. There should be a little bit of like an obstacle to make it worth it. And yeah. I think you're on the right path. Where can people find you if they want to find your art, if they want to hire you to be a cinematographer, or they want to hire you to direct a movie for them? Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram. You can find me at William Phillips Cook. I also have a website. It's willcookmedia.com. Those are my most common, you know, ways to get in touch with me. Probably Instagram, you know, just slide in my DMs. More than happy to chat about projects, and love to collaborate with new artists. You know,
and
look
you
forward to working with you.
Yeah, I'm going to announce it here. We are going to collaborate on Monday. We have episode 4 of Sight and Sound. William's going to be shooting it, and it's going to be awesome. So I'm excited, William, to work with you. It's been such a pleasure to have you on as a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. You have full open doors to come in and out of this show whenever you have something to feature. So please come back and be a guest on Wake Up Hollywood, because that's what the show's about. It's about following the artists on their journey. And you are a tremendous artist, man. I can't wait to work with you. Your work is really extraordinary, even just on the camera side and the directing side, all of it. So I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be great. And I look forward to hanging
with you. Thanks for having me on the show last minute. And I appreciate it so much. And I'm glad we got to chat, you know, a bit more, you know, before we get to work together, which I'm so looking forward to.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And thank you, William. On behalf of Sam, myself, and William, we'll see you guys next week. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. We out.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.